All right. In theory, we should be live.
All right.
Yay. All right. Welcome to Pack Tactics, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign. Tonight is episode 31, partially inspired by a comment made by one Zili Ikka. Distractions of some sort. I'm about to mute myself, but first I'm going to ask... Oh, wait. No, back up. I am joined by a bunch of awesome people, including but not limited to. We've got Ellie, we've got Io, we've got Jen, we've got Cindy. Archbeth is hanging out in chat like always. And now I'm going to mute myself after asking, what did you do last week?
We fought very, very thin terrace.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
After finding a temple with a bunch of different god statues, indicating they used the terrace as a tank against something really old.
The primordials.
Trying to think what else. I know Gox replanted a tree that he pulled out of the ground. And he found a statue of Bahamut in the temple, which matters to him. That's all I remember.
We also found out that the meteor that caused both continents was likely a weapon to kill the Tarrasque.
I think Zili threatened to set a continent on fire, though that might have been the session before this one.
No, that was this one.
Okay.
I edited that episode yesterday. That was this past session.
Yeah, last session I think we mostly just explored that place I'm going to call a temple because not sure what else to call it. Mm-hmm. And then fought tiny stone Tarrasques.
Atkins diet Tarrasques.
I don't know. I wouldn't bite those.
No, no. They were on the Atkins diet. That was
so they were very, very skinny.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
All right. So at this point, you as a party have a variety of choices. You could go back to Fiddlepunch's tower in its now in a new location, but with the same menu options. Or you could continue to explore, or you could do whatever. You could teleport your way home and say, forget all this. At some point, I'm going to play a campaign where the party, instead of going after the big bad, is just like, nah, no, there's a beach somewhere. I want a drink with an umbrella in it, and I'm just going to hang out. Because hanging out on a beach worked so well for the other campaign.
It sure did, especially where, one of the characters, my character, is actually holding a drink with an umbrella in it in that other campaign at the time, so...
If I remember correctly, it was two umbrellas and a sparkler.
And a sparkler, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we should keep exploring.
Sounds good to me.
Did we finish exploring the temple, as we're calling it, or are we exploring somewhere else now?
We checked out all the rooms and
We
discovered there was no hidden passage behind the waterfall.
Right.
So.
Okay.
It's quite possible. Unless
someone wants to dig out an archaeology comb or brush, then that's probably most of what we'll find there.
Yeah, okay. That's enough for Gox to be done with it.
Yeah, it's quite possible that there was more to that structure when it was originally built, but the ruins of what you found seems to be all that's left. These might have been like the deepest, darkest chambers inside the original structure, but everything else just got sheared off and turned into plant fodder.
Let's go. We have problems to find, dragons to kill.
Bubblegum to chew.
And bubblegum to invent venture. And I am all out of bubble.
Yes, you are unfortunately out of bubblegum, so you need to invent it so you can chew it. It's best not to let the gnome invent the bubblegum. The last thing that I entered into the game that was created by a gnome was called Gear Grinder Special, and it was an alcoholic beverage that was over 100% alcohol.
Yep.
Very useful for stripping paint and stump removal.
Mm-hmm.
Also powering high-speed trains, but never mind about that.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say, you could probably make a rocket fuel out of that.
Yeah, it's basically rocket fuel.
It had that effect. Actually, when the character that created that stuff was first introduced in the campaign, the party saw her launching her ex-boyfriend up into the stratosphere. So, yeah, That is the thing that happened. But in any case,
if you're going... prototype.
Oh no, it was revenge.
Well, all right. But I mean, she's a gnome.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, revenge and prototype.
I suppose it can be more than one thing. There is overlap in Venn diagrams. That said, if you're going to continue exploring, I'm going to need someone to roll me a 12-sided die.
Okay, I got a 12-sided die. 6.
Oh. Okay.
So, I don't know who is first. I really don't.
It can be more than one thing.
Oh, okay.
And I will say again, because of how much I love this strategy I've come up with, I love the idea of the party rolling on the random encounter table, so it's totally their fault, whatever happens. But also, yeah. Specifically, I always make sure my tables have 12 things on them, because the D12 just does not get enough love.
It doesn't. Yeah.
There are entire campaigns where this is the only thing where the D12 would be used for. Well, that and barbarian hit points, but you can let D&D Beyond do that for you.
There are entire campaigns without barbarians.
Wait, what?
I know, it's weird.
Next you're going to tell me there's campaigns without bards.
See, I haven't seen any of those.
Yeah, I there's like rodents of unusual size. I don't believe they exist.
Sometimes Toll the Dead uses a D12.
Well, there's that at least. And I suppose at very high levels, that would be the inspiration die for a bard. But we got to get you that level first. So we're working on it. All right, so you continue to march your way through the forest. And as you go, someone give me a survival check.
Okay.
Okay.
With that. Oh, you got it? Okay, go.
I think Daldane has all the survival checks.
Rock on. That's fine.
Plus 12, that's way better than mine.
Wow.
Okay, with a 26, you are just as lost as Zeely is, which is to say, not one bit, because Zeely has that attribute from her background, where she's just not going to get lost. And with a 26, you know every direction you've gone in. You've climbed every mountain. You haven't climbed any mountains.
Not yet.
Not yet. There's one really big mountain in the middle of this continent, and there's foothills that would be mountains on other continents, but never mind about that. So as you are going through the woods, it starts to thin out a bit, and with a survival roll of 26, I will tell you that your understanding is the thinning out is not a naturally occurring thing. The plants in this area appear to be sickly.
Uh-oh.
Something wrong?
I'll pass that knowledge on to the rest of the party.
Okay.
Oh, that's not good. Or maybe... Or maybe it is. Maybe that's a sign of either civilization or things to set on fire. Or both. Let's find out.
I agree. Let's find out.
Okay. So you continue onward. You do come across a stream that has an odor to it. None of you feels compelled to drink.
I sniff it to see if I recognize the odor.
Same.
Give me medicine checks.
Well, I'll do that too then.
That is a 6.
I got a dirty 20.
All right.
I got a 16.
So Zeely, even with a 6, you are certain that what you're smelling is not safe for kobold consumption, which is a slightly lower bar than human consumption, but never mind about that. It is what it is. With a 16, Daldane knows that whatever you're smelling is definitely poisonous, but you're not quite sure as to its origin. It's not something that kobolds tend to naturally encounter in their day-to-day lives. With a dirty 20, I will say that Marwise recognizes the odor from some research binge or another. It was probably tangential to something else that you were researching at the time. It's like, oh, well, here's this extra tidbit of knowledge. I'll write that down. It's a chemical that is used to filter out various metals from soils. So this is mining waste product.
Mm. So yeah, upstream, we'll probably find a mining operation.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. That's exactly what I want to see.
Okay.
Shall we head upstream then?
Let's go.
Okay. The DM just felt a chill down his spine. Okay. So you continue to travel through the woods heading upstream. It's getting harder and harder to call the area that you're in woods. The trees are very thin. There's stumps from trees that at one time were massive. Not giant redwood massive, but still quite large. That were cut down and drug away some time ago, possibly a few months. It's hard to tell, but it wasn't recent. Okay, so a few months ago in a forest like this was actually quite recent, but never mind about that. And the new growth isn't really coming in, so it's becoming more and more open field type stuff. If it was daylight outside, you'd feel very exposed. It's nighttime. You can all see in the dark. You probably still feel a little exposed.
I'm not exposed to everything else. Everything else is exposed to me.
Uh-oh.
That was almost a Rorschach quote.
That is perfect. No, I mean, really.
Zeely is on the warpath now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm picturing Z like finding some reddish mud and then just like dabbing it on either side of her snout to put little lines under her eyes. Zeely, battle angel. Only with a lot more fire than that movie had. Okay, and you're starting to hear echoing sounds of machinery. You don't see anything yet until you go over a hill, and you still have a little bit of ways to go. This hill's maybe a quarter mile away from the actual mining operation, but you see a ridgeline of piled dirt and rock that seems to be roughly a giant circle. There it just goes down in the middle. So it's likely a strip mining operation. And there are several structures on the far side of this that are rising up where they're not a design that you've seen before. They've got a lot of towers that are cylindrical that have smoke coming out of them.
Hmm. Do we see any people?
Not from this distance.
Not from this distance, okay.
There is... Sorry.
I'm not so sure we're going to find kobolds here, suddenly.
Well, you never know. Kobolds are dragons' favorite form of forced labor.
We'll see. And we'll see about that.
So, from a quarter mile away, with the starlight, you can make out that the structure off in the distance exists because it's this void in the sky and the smoke coming out. You can sort of make it out by the starlight. The ridge as well, you can make out. But the vision that allows you to perform very well at nighttime, your dark vision, I believe, only has a range of 60 feet, or for one of you, on a good day, it's 120 feet, if I remember correctly. Or am I thinking of the other campaign? But either way, 120 feet is not a quarter mile, unless I've got my math wrong. So you're going to have to approach closer to see details.
Well then, shall we get a little closer?
I guess.
Sure.
May as well. Only way to find out.
You know what that's going to require.
Stealth checks.
Unless you're choosing to not be stealthy, you can always declare that you want them to know you're coming.
Not yet.
Okay, so rolling stealth. That hit something. Hold on. Trying again. Same number. I got a 5. And stealth is +2. The barbarian is not very stealthy.
That is true to the character.
Mm-hmm. 15.
Zeely, I think you're the only one that scored above 10.
Oh, no, I am.
Yeah, we've got a 7 for Daldane. You've got an 8 for Marwise. So Zeely has gone full Rambo. And is crouched down and is stalking forward, and everyone else is going, hi ho, hi ho. This song is copyrighted. We'll get a strike, it'll get taken down. This song, it doesn't rhyme at all. All right. Well, as you get closer, you do hear the sound of picks and shovels.
So somebody's mining. Can we see people yet?
Not through the rock.
Not through the rock. Okay, good point. Is there a way in?
Well, it's a giant aftermarket hill of piled rock. You could either walk around it towards the structure on the other side, or you could go up and over to look down below. The choices are yours. You could also teleport home and find out about those pina coladas that Eric talked about during the last game.
I'm going to creep around the rock.
No one ever takes DM suggestions seriously.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm going to follow.
I just realized that's what I should have done for the Saturday campaign. The one day I don't make a joke about splitting the party. Everyone splits the party within 5 minutes of the session starting.
Yeah, yeah. And
if you had stayed together, there's a fairly good chance that you would have not been captured by the fish people.
Yeah, but that's not what we did. So.
Nope, that is certainly not the choice that the party took. Anyone in the party took.
Pretty much.
But there were two different locations you could have gone where you would have been able to fend them off with some level of reasonability. It's okay. I'm looking forward to next week. I'm always looking forward to next week. So you're going up and over, if I remember correctly?
Creeping around.
Oh, yep. Creeping around.
Or at least I'm creeping around. I don't know about the people who got like a 5 on their stealth check.
Okay.
Well, Gox wants to follow Zeely.
We
missed
a creeping with singing and just kind of went from there.
Yeah.
It's kind of like from Emperor's New Groove when Kronk creates his own soundtrack.
Where I haven't seen it.
It is delightfully terrible, where it's supposed to kind of be like spy music, but he's going da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And at one point, he's pressed up against a wall, just holding a note as people walk past him and look at him silly.
I get cut out on the end.
It's unimportant. But never mind about that. Cusco is my favorite Disney princess, so if I have an opportunity to talk about it, I will. Yeah, and that song is still copyrighted by Disney, because when Patrick Warburton ad-libbed it, a lawyer for Disney got worried that he might claim the rights to it and then expect more money from Disney for publishing it. So Disney owns the rights to an ad-libbed Patrick Warburton original piece.
Wow.
He laughed out loud, apparently, when he was asked to sign the waiver. But you want that? Whatever. I mean, I'm good at what I do, but you want that?
It's Disney. They want everything.
Well, this is also true.
Yeah.
It's why they have a copyrighted version of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, a public domain fairy tale. Moving on, you are creeping, various degrees of creeping, let's say.
Trying.
Not all of them are of equal skill or talent or effectiveness, and yet you are creeping around this giant hill towards the structure, and the sounds are getting much larger. Not so much the shovels and picks, those are staying a steady volume because you are apparently remaining equidistant from where they are happening, but the sounds of machinery are getting louder as you get closer to these large looming structures, and they appear to be entirely made of metal. There are walkways and ladders that apparently are all made of iron that are going off in various directions and connecting things that you have no idea what any of them do. It's possible the DM has no idea what any of them do either, but aesthetically they look really cool and industrial. And you see absolutely no guards.
Huh.
Either something's very weird here, or they really weren't expecting anyone to find them.
How about both? Both is good.
I'm more along the lines of thinking that they just don't really consider anything else on this continent a real threat.
We have the advantage of surprise, then. I want to find out what's going on with the picks.
Yeah, that could be people instead of machines.
I'm game.
How far away do you think they are?
It would require maybe an insight check to figure that out.
Okay. I can try.
And the laughter you're hearing is because of Discord chat, because apparently some things aren't worth saying, you have to type them.
Yeah. Okay, so I got a 9 on the dice, and insight is plus 5.
All right, well, that's still a 14, which is not too bad.
I got a 22.
Wow.
Okay, so Gox
Marwise
is like...
and Gox have the same insight bonus, apparently. I just rolled higher.
Yeah.
So Gox is like, they're over that way, pointing through the rock. And yeah. Marwise is like, okay, so if you were, theoretically, to attack the shovels and picks with a trebuchet, you would angle it in this direction. And let's see, the wind is at 5 knots. So adjust this to a 45-degree angle. And they're about maybe 50 feet below the surface that we're on now.
I still don't understand why people measure wind in rope.
It's historical context.
I don't think Zaylee's ever been on... Well, I mean, and has she ever been on a boat? Have we ever been on a boat?
You took a boat to the area right above the Sunken Temple.
Oh, right.
You just weren't able to use the boat to get back.
Right, right, okay.
Everyone on that ship had only 3 days until retirement.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing they survived for 4 more days.
And that is a story that we will tell the insurance.
So are we going to go find whatever's using the picks?
Let's do it.
Okay. You climb up over the hill, and 4 little kobold heads, 2 of them wearing floral bonnets, poke up over the ridgeline, and you see a strip mining operation. It just likes what you would see if you Googled strip mining, only there isn't large machinery doing the work. It seems to be a bunch of humanoid figures. There does not appear to be any light sources going on down there, but with your dark vision, considering that they're 50 feet down and you've got 60 feet of dark vision, you can see the edges of this. They are using shovels and picks. They are loading things into carts that are then hauled with some kind of pulley system up and over towards where the factory is.
What kind of humanoids are down there?
From here, it's hard to tell. They appear to be of varying heights, so probably not just one kind.
Interesting. And no light sources, so they
don't need them.
Can see us about as well as we can see them if we...
Yeah, but we haven't noticed any guards so far, so they're probably not on the lookout for us, which isn't foolproof, but it's better than nothing.
So what's keeping them here if there's no guards?
Well, it's probably hard to escape into a wilderness on another world. Yeah, I'm not sure that's it either.
Because that would mean these people aren't from this world.
Well, best case scenario, they're getting paid for it somehow. Worst case scenario, a dragon comes by every few days and makes them afraid for their life.
Maybe we should get them out of here then. I mean, if they want to go, if they're getting paid and they're happy, I guess they're fine. But we don't know that.
What are they mining?
I don't know.
I think from the general look of this place, the answer might be everything. All right. We go down and talk to the people, or we go take a look at the machinery?
Well, I think the people are going to be able to tell us more than a machine.
All right, then.
You decide to climb up and over and go down?
Yep.
Okay. It's going to be dexterity saves for all of you.
Oh, God. Okay.
Because you're climbing down loose soil, not where the walkways are.
Is climbing a necessity here?
Not if you have some method of flying, no.
Oh.
I will probably use my boots then.
Okay.
Okay. I have a 15 on the dice, and dexterity is plus 2.
Okay. So Gox does a controlled slide down.
Yep.
Very much as if Gox was skateboarding, and looks really cool in the process. And when you land, you do a sort of like 90-degree spin to break at the very bottom, and it looks really neat.
Nice.
Daldane does almost the exact same thing, but does manage to hit a rock that doesn't give so well about 3/4 of the way down. And give me a dexterity save, Daldane.
That was a dexterity save.
No, that was dexterity check. Give me a save. A check, you're trying to be awesome. A save, you're trying to make up for it.
I was pretty sure you said save.
Well, give me another one.
Okay. Because my dexterity save is really good. My dexterity check, not so much.
Well, I can tell you that 15 was the target number. Okay.
Well, I still didn't make it.
Nope. That's higher than the last time. You went from a 12 to a 4. Well, that's not too bad. You take 2 points of bludgeoning damage as you somersault roll your way to right where Gox is looking awesome.
Gox will reach down and help her up.
And Marwise and Zili descend from on high.
Zili just basically launches herself off and uses her wings to slow the ensuing descent.
But here is the real question that the DM is very interested in the answer to this. Do you, in fact, do a superhero landing?
I'm going to say no for Marwise.
Okay, Marwise just descends from on high and plops down.
No, because have you seen Zili's strength score? When she does a superhero landing, it's not nearly as impressive as you'd think.
Okay. But nevertheless, you have all reached the bottom, and from here, it is very easy to tell that the miners, whatever they were before, apparently are zombies and skeletons now.
Oh, no. We're too late.
Well, probably. I mean, we have had some luck with friendly undead before.
That's true.
They do not seem to be distracted by you at all. One of them that is pushing a wheelbarrow does stop when it's trying to go from point A to point B and you happen to be in the way of the shortest distance and just sort of stands there while you're in the way.
So I think these are more like Tim's people than Tim himself.
Oh, yeah, that could be. Is the one that's waiting for us to move out of the way, is it standing in front of Gox or standing in front of someone else?
Kind of all four of you. My assumption is you're in a group.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'll try to get out of the way myself.
Yeah, I'll get out of the way.
Yeah, same.
I'll get out of the way, too.
Okay, as soon as you're out of the way, it continues on. It does not, in fact, whistle a song copyrighted by Disney about digging, but that might just be because it doesn't seem to have lips at this time.
Yeah, these are a lot like Tim's people, or they just sort of keep doing.
Yeah, probably not much use talking to them, though. Which way to the machinery?
That way.
Let's go that way.
Okay, so you basically follow the zombie with the wheelbarrow.
Okay.
And it goes up to a minecart, dumps the contents of the wheelbarrow into the minecart. Give me perception checks, all of you.
Okay.
Perception checks, my eternal nemesis.
I've got an 18... And perception is a +5.
Wow, nat 20.
Woohoo!
Wait a minute, two nat 20s.
Okay.
Good job, Marwise.
So, you got a 9. It's not technically a rock. Although those are definitely rocks. And those are not rocks as in those are stones. Those are rocks as in stick those on rings and propose marriage.
Oh.
Diamonds.
I mean, there's likely other stuff in here as well, but there's a lot of sparklies in this wheelbarrow, though, that's been dumped into the minecart. Zili would be intrigued. Not Zili. Meepo.
Meepo would be very
A different kobold sorcerer.
Yes.
Marwise.
Yes. These are the kind of diamonds you need for the spell Raise Dead.
Well, they're uncut diamonds. In their current form, they're not of much value. You would need a jewel crafter, possibly probably Mists of Pandaria level or higher, to be able to craft it into a gem of suitable gold value.
But it's where they start, so
yeah.
This is the raw material.
Yeah, and they're they're a small enough size that you can't just like pull out a large rough cut one and say, well, it is wholesale value, it's still worth enough gold. No. The DM is not giving that. DM giveth, but not that.
But we'd need time, but it's not like you could perform all that many in a day anyway, probably. We need these.
Well, while you're discussing this, the minecart starts going up a rail track towards the factory.
Follow that cart.
Okay. How are we going to follow that cart? Climb onto the track? Are we big enough to get up there?
If Hollywood has taught me anything, you're supposed to all climb into a minecart that appears after the first one and then go on a wild ride over a track that has at least one loop-de-loop and one portion of the track that doesn't exist. While another group of villains is in a cart behind you.
Right, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Never mind.
Unfortunately, I'm on the East Coast. I'm nowhere near Hollywood, so it's just a cart going up a track. You can
walk up exactly how to steal that cart. I cast animate objects on it.
Okay. The cart is now animated. It's still full of dirt and diamonds, and it's still being pulled by a chain up a hill. It attempts to come over here, but there's a chain pulling it up a hill.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal.
Certain portions of the cart sort of sag down to make a frowny face as it realizes that it cannot actually get to you.
Oh. All right. Well, I want to climb up there and like see if I can pull out some of these things that Zili wants.
Okay. Like
big rocks or whatever. Yeah. I'll look for the shiny ones.
Well, it's not moving very fast. Your walking speed will allow you to keep up with the cart.
Okay.
It is being pulled up a hill. so you're right, able to walk behind it and you're pulling out little shinies, and we'll talk later about how much you've pulled out. But right now you're just pulling out little bits of rock and I guess throwing them in my bag or something.
Yeah. Well, Zili wanted them, so I'm just going to grab a bunch.
Yeah. So there's a diamond and there's a diamond, and that looks like a cubic zirconia. Totally worthless. Throw that away.
Anything shiny. That's what I'm grabbing.
Yeah. And are the rest of you following the minecart, or?
Yes.
Okay. The minecart seems to cheer up when Zili gets close to it.
Oh, good.
How long does animate object last for? I keep forgetting. I want to say a minute.
A minute.
Okay. Well, because of the speed that the minecart is moving, it is unfortunately over a minute before it crests the top of the hill. But in its brief false life, it is happy to get to know you.
Oh.
Near the top of the hill, you hear, I don't want to go.
Oh, no.
And then it turns into Matt Smith, and everyone's very confused. Especially Matt Smith. He is probably the most confused. Okay, thank you for that, Jeff. I appreciate that. That has nothing to do with Doctor Who, but still.
Didn't Moving Spider-Man on. Say before I went to?
I think so, yeah. I'm pretty sure of that.
Well, I believe he is. The actor is British. I'm pretty sure the actor is British. All right. So you get to the top of the hill, and it angles down in a way where it picks up a lot of speed, and you can no longer do a walk. You could dash if you wanted to keep up with it, but it rolls its way right in through a factory door. The door itself doesn't seem to have like a way to close, at least from this size. It just has strips of fabric or leather, probably leather from the looks of it, that hang down so that it blocks a view, but anything going through it just pushes them aside and then they go back into place.
Hmm. Well, you still want to follow the cart?
Firebolt. I don't think I want my view blocked.
All right. You cast Firebolt. I'm not even going to require you to roll damage because you've basically casted at leather, which is arguably flammable. And there is now a Firebolt-shaped hole, no longer blocking your view of the interior workings of this very dark factory. Well, not that dark, because apparently there is some refining going on in here, and that does require heat sources, so there happens to be some glowing machinery. There's a bit of heat that comes it back out that's not from the firebolt. Zili is immediately comforted.
Should we get out of here before someone who might be able to raise an alarm shows up?
We haven't seen anybody.
A skeleton starts ringing a bell going, bring out your dead! Bring out your dead!
But they're already out here.
Yep.
Okay, bring in your dead! Bring in your dead!
I don't think there's anybody watching these skeletons and zombies.
Well, oh no, you're much more interesting.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Nothing.
I was going to say, it depends on how skilled they can get. Like, I mean, there's a difference between mining raw materials and then actually refining and cutting the gems.
But if they're like Tim's people, then maybe like the people refining it already had that skill. So if they're a zombie now, maybe they're still doing it. Like they're not going to stop and care what we're doing. Mm. I don't know. We'd have to go in to see what's in there.
You have a door that is yep. slightly more accessible than it was originally.
And slowly getting bigger.
Yep.
There's a bit of a smoldering.
Yeah. Well, should we go in?
Let's go in.
Okay. All right.
So the rail track continues inward, and the chain actually pops off of the minecart and goes back down. It's imagine, if you will, the opening section of a roller coaster.
Okay.
So the cart sort of glides forward a bit and then gets hooked up on another chain and gets pulled up onto a ledge where it tips over and dumps all of its contents into a larger bin that is shaking like crazy. And there are various conveyor belts at different levels of this contraption that seem to be taking out items of different size or weight, or you probably have to investigate it further than you care to at this point to understand how the inner workings are going. But there are shinies that are going off in one direction. There's loose rubble that's going off in another direction. There's larger chunks of rock that are going off in a third direction. There's a boy band that's going off in one direction. They are also very confused about how they got here. They are immediately killed and turned into zombies and joined the workforce. But their choreography is on point.
So they went from being One Direction to being part of a Michael Jackson video.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But you know what? Choreography, still on point.
There you go.
Except for that one that's trying to walk forward and keeps going into a wall behind it.
Anyway.
Do we see any people, though? I mean...
Investigation check.
All right.
Investigation check. Okay. Investigation is plus two.
I've got an 8, and my investigation is minus 2, so I have no idea.
12. Go, Daldane!
Daldane has cracked the case. The butler did it.
Okay. It's always the butler.
Who keeps hiring that butler?
People who don't know any better.
They don't know to check the references.
Yeah.
Or they check the references. The reference is a forged letter of reference from the previous victim. And you can't verify that it wasn't by them because you go and ask them and they're already dead. Well, with a roll of 21, I am going to say that Daldane realizes a factory of this size, a mining operation of this complexity, would probably not be able to be 100% automated. You could automate most of it, sure, but mining rocks, they're of irregular sizes and shapes. And anytime you have a means of adding chaos in, you have a way that something's going to get screwed up. So you need someone with intelligence to stopgap things, to prevent things from breaking down to the point where nothing's working anymore. So there's probably somebody on site, and they'd probably be hanging out wherever something is the most complex, if something's going wrong. Right now, there doesn't seem to be anything going wrong.
Well, if something's going to go wrong, given what we've seen...
Setting this place on fire and getting out of Dodge is still an option.
It's true.
Well, pretty much every structural surface in this factory seems to be made of metal. So setting it on fire is, I'm not going to say impossible, but will take a bit more effort.
Firebolt can't melt steel beams.
No, you need whatever they put in contrails for that.
Then I propose option number two. I have a spell called Earthquake.
Not while we're inside it, you don't.
Yeah, obviously not. Then, but... it's got a 500-foot range. We could get partially out of dodge. I could try to collapse the structure with some fissures, and then we can start running again.
So we've got a section where zombies and skeletons are mining. And then whatever they mine goes into the mine carts. And then the mine carts come inside, and whatever's in the mine carts gets sorted.
And the sorting is, from your guess, probably the most complex piece of machinery and the most likely to break down in this structure. Mm-hmm. It just hasn't broken down currently, so you don't see anyone coming over and trying to fix it. If you wish to summon somebody, you just need to find an appropriate-sized monkey wrench.
Yeah.
What about a javelin?
Yeah. Let's break the sorting machine.
All right.
Now, granted, Marwai's idea of Earthquake would...
is still valid.
Would also break the sorting machine.
It would work.
It would. Yeah.
So if you want to say, hey, let's compromise, everybody wins, you still have a possible solution. But I'll leave it up to you exactly how you intend to do this. I'm giving you this information because of a 21 insight check.
Okay.
Of course, there's still option number three.
Burn it all to the ground and let God sort it out?
No, sort of the opposite of that. I don't trust any of the gods that might be around here to sort it out. Namely, because the god that would be sorting it out is probably Tiamat. Anyway. Well,
collapsing the whole thing was the reason I proposed Earthquake. My idea was just basically try to shut this facility down and then get out, but...
option number three is the skeletons and zombies probably didn't actually notice we were here in a thinking sort of sense.
Now, so we can just leave.
I wouldn't mind causing some destruction here, but if we wanted to preserve our advantage of surprise, that's an option on the table. I'd be remiss if I didn't note it.
Option four is that beach with pina coladas.
Well, on the one hand, leaving without making a ruckus does seem to be the sensible thing to do.
But you're a band of kobolds.
On the other hand, we're all kobolds, and kobolds are naturally chaotic. On the gripping hand, Gox has a javelin out already and is aiming at the sorting mechanism.
Somebody suggested it. Just a matter of time.
Might have been Gox.
Is anyone going...
So,
yeah. Well, Gox suggested it, so Gox is following up on Gox's suggestion, unless anyone tells
Gox
otherwise.
He's trying to figure out where to aim right now.
Anyone who wants to leave is going to need to start by getting in the way of Gox's javelin.
Well, there's a gigantic opening at the top of this sorting machine that the mine carts dump into. So you just need to toss the javelin up and over. If you wanted to be lazy about it, you could even walk up the ramp to it and just drop it straight in. It's up to you.
Well, if nobody's stopping me, I'm going to walk up the ramp and drop it in.
Okay.
I'm not sure anybody could stop you.
you can explain why it's a bad idea. It might work.
Yeah.
But
if explanations don't work, offer bacon.
True. Yeah.
Yes.
Very, very food motivated.
So Gox goes
Let's
up the
see
ramp.
What happens. Let's see what happens.
Gox goes up the ramp, holds the javelin out over the side, between pinky and forefinger, or pinky and thumb or whatever, and then just sort of gently lets go, and it goes right into the machine. And this machine was making a lot of noise. Imagine that vehicle that you're pretty sure will never pass an emissions inspection ever.
Oh, okay.
Yes. That's usually two cars behind you at that red light that just will not turn green. And then that vibration sound of metal just moving back and forth a whole lot, it very quickly stops. followed by a high-pitched screeching sound of metal wanting to do something but being told no.
Docs, you should probably get a bit further away from that.
Okay, I'm going to use my ring of, I think it's a ring of jumping or something, and jump down safely.
Okay.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Do you do the superhero landing?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Yay, superhero landing. Okay.
All right, places, everyone.
That's really hard on these, by the way.
Let's make a dramatic, I mean, not a dramatic entrance. We're not the ones entering, but, you know, the thing where we're dramatically here. Daldane knows what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. However, Daldane's character says we've been playing for about an hour.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would like to do the reveal of what's about to happen from this, and then we can take our break.
Okay.
There we go.
I've been waiting for this moment. So the whining gets louder and louder, and then there is the sound of something giving way, something internal and likely expensive. And the whole machine
just... There was a terrible
ghastly
silence. There was a terrible ghastly noise. There was a terrible ghastly silence.
Except it didn't start with silence. It started with noise the entire time, followed by a louder and more expensive sounding noise, followed by a snap, and the whole machine just sort of shifts a half inch in a direction that is wrong.
Oh, no.
You might not be sure which directions would be right for this, but that's not it. It doesn't look like it's about to fall over, just that someone's going to need a lot of strength checks to put this back the way it should be.
It's just a jump to the left.
No. No, it's not. It's worse than that. The plumbers would come in and say, oh, that's not going to take 15 minutes. Going to need to get some specialists in here. The parts are going to be on back order. I don't know what to tell you. Oh. We are not going to get this up and running. Anytime soon.
This is going to be a union job. I thought you were union. No. The whole union.
How do you feel about having a meeting here? The local 402 would like to come in? Or whatever number they are. I don't know. So immediately after, a deafening silence falls upon the immediate area. You hear the sounds of swearing.
That's not
kind
a zombie.
Of swearing.
Well, that isn't a zombie or a skeleton.
Yeah, zombies and skeletons don't tend to swear in that many languages.
Oh, well, that answers what kind.
It's cycling through. You hear some Elvish in there. Whether or not you can speak Elvish, you might recognize a few syllables here and there. Dwarvish, Halfling, Common, of course. Some phrases that you have not heard before. Or actually, some of you probably have heard them before. Marwise through her studies, Daldane because you're a bard.
Zeely, the time that she went through that window.
There's some particularly long swears that have a significant number of hyphens included in them in Draconic. So you're able to pick those up.
Which we know those, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. Odd combinations, though. You might not have heard those combinations of particular words. And several of the things suggested are impossible without very creative magic.
Okay.
Yes. The volume is getting louder as whoever is doing the swearing gets closer. Eventually, you also hear complaints about how they really shouldn't have to do this, and this is a sorry state of affairs, and they warned so-and-so that this was a bad idea, and into the range of your dark vision appears a very grumpy halfling.
Okay.
A very, well, he looks kind of old. There's still just a little bit of color in his hair, but not much. It may have been brown at one point, but it's uncombed. It looks like this person just woke up. He is wearing essentially rags. There is a collar around his neck that appears to be made of iron, and it's got chains from it that go down to his wrists and ankles. And I think the best role for this for everyone would be a history check. This is not ancient history. To kobolds, it might be.
Okay, I got a 16, and my history is -2 because I'm a barbarian and I don't read books.
That's a 5.
Gox doesn't know much about history.
No, doesn't know much about history.
Okay.
Dirty 20.
So, a dirty 20 from the kobold who would be least likely to know who this is.
Can I spend inspiration on this?
You may. For all I know, you'll get it back in 5 minutes. All right. Well, with a 15, you do recognize this halfling. You didn't spend a whole lot of time with him. But you do remember him from 10 years ago. He was part of the strike force that was led against Malathomax. He didn't seem to have any one particular allegiance. He was just sort of there. Everyone seemed to know him. He seemed to insult people more if he liked them. And he was very good with daggers.
Oh, no.
It's old Bob.
It's old Bob. Uh-huh.
It's old Bob.
That's why he knew all those words.
Hello there, whoever you are. We're your rescue party.
Hi, Bob.
Well, it's about bleeping time. Only he doesn't say bleeping.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to take 5 and come back when we figure out why old Bob is hanging out in the middle of a factory.
Oh, my goodness.
On the other side of the planet.
The world, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I wasn't expecting that. Okay.
And we're back.
Woo!
Okay. So old Bob puts his hands on his hips. You hear the rattling of chains now. His swearing before was loud enough to cover them up. which one says something about how he's probably a rogue and is incredibly stealthy normally. And two says something about how angry he is.
Mm-hmm.
What took you so long?
Well, we just got here.
You're kind of on a continent we didn't know existed till today.
Excuses. Look, can you
get
these off of me?
Stop complaining about the rescue and let us rescue you.
Okay. Well,
I'm gonna try and break
holds up his wrists.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and break the chains on it and whatever else I can do to get him out of there.
Give me a strength check.
Strength check. Barbarian with a strength check. Got an 11. Strength is, let's see, where is that? I didn't even see that. Somewhere in here. Strength. Oh, +3. So 11
that
plus
would be
3.
That would be a 14, and they don't even budge. Give me an insight check.
Okay. I got an 18 on that, and insight is +5.
Okay, so you are actively trying to rip these chains off of old Bob. If you were trying to do this on someone else, they'd be moving any way you wanted them to move. He doesn't budge. You could probably do pull-ups on his arms if he was a bit taller.
Okay. What are these made out of? I can't break them.
Magic.
Okay. Well, I can carry you out of here if you want to move a little faster.
I
think.
Rather not. That would be very undignified for both of us.
I don't mind. I've carried kobolds a lot.
Yes, well, and he just turned... He's dismissed Gox already. He's turned towards the 3 kobolds who can cast spells. Look, can any of you get these off of me?
How do they work?
I don't know. I didn't create them. All I know is I can't get them off.
How far can you go?
I don't know.
What are they connected to?
There is a collar around his neck, and he's also got bracelets and anklets, and... There are 4 chains going from the collar around his neck to each of the extremities. But there's no other chains. They're not connected to anything else.
Oh, so he's just shackled to himself, basically.
Yes.
Hmm.
But if the chains are magic, there's likely a spell involved to keep him here.
So who's got the spell magic?
I was hoping one of you did that.
I can detect magic. Ever.
I do have dispel magic, actually.
Aha. Uh-huh.
He is slightly less grumpy.
I do the counterspelling. She does the dispelling.
Well, don't counter the dispelling, please. He immediately holds his wrist out to Marwise, if you would.
Oh, boy. Okay, let me just read up on the spell's effect here. I haven't had to use it yet.
Which sounds very in character, actually.
No, I've only seen Dispel Magic used once in any of the 5th edition campaigns I've done.
I'm trying to think when that was.
It was to temporarily turn off a particular mind control gem.
Oh.
Is there any way I could figure out what level of spell was used to enchant these chains?
That would probably require an Arcana check.
Okay, it says, if I cast it at the lowest level, it'll automatically dispel anything of third level or lower. Anything higher than that, I have to make a check. And it says using my spellcasting ability. I'm a little unsure what they mean by that.
Your spellcasting ability is your modifier is plus 5.
All right.
So you roll a d20 and add 5.
All right, then I'll try it on the lowest possible setting right now so I don't blow any high-level spots. So yeah, I'll cast it as a third-level spell. And do I have to roll?
You're going to have to roll a d20 and add 5 to it, yes. A 17.
So if it's a 7th-level spell or lower, I think I dispelled it.
Okay. There is a click, and the chains attaching the collar to everything else fall off. The anklets and bracelets fall off. The chain is still around his neck. Well, I suppose that's a little better, at least.
Is this one just locked?
If it is, I haven't found a key.
Well, I could try to break it again, but it didn't work so
good
last time.
Please don't. It's around my neck.
Yeah, okay.
I do remember you having a history of necks and battle axes. I'd like to keep that to be your history and not mine.
Well, I'm not fighting you, so
yes.
No worries.
Well, I'm going to have to do something about my crew.
Your crew?
Are they the ones mining?
Unfortunately, yes. I was on a ship, my new ship, and there was a storm. We were blown off course. And long story short, captured by cultists and brought here.
Fine, I guess we add the crew to the list.
Yes. They decided to keep me alive pretty much as a joke. They thought it was really funny.
I'm going to cast Detect Magic.
Okay.
On old Bob. And specifically on the thing around his neck.
Oh, it lights up like the sun.
Okay, so it is magical.
Oh, yeah.
And what school of magic is it?
Oh, that is a very good question, because the DM always messes up on the names of the various schools of magic. That is a failing on the DM's part. I am unfortunately not Matt. Matt can cite them from memory.
There's abjuration, there's evocation, there's transmutation, there's divination.
And I forget what all those do. Give me a second. I like how I click on schools of magic and it just lists them.
Yep.
For the first result.
No descriptions.
Yeah. But the link that I clicked on took me to chapter 1 of the rule book. Doesn't help me.
No. Uh-uh.
Well, here's a song.
It's not incredibly.
Yeah, I've seen that video and I love that video.
And at the end, he literally sings a song of the schools of magic, along with very brief descriptions.
I know.
Well, that'll
fireball,
work if you can't find anything else.
Just cast Fireball. Why do you disagree with me, person within Fireball range?
I have an incredibly dumb and ridiculous idea.
The DM is intrigued and terrified.
Bob, I apologize in advance.
He swears again. It's kind of a resigned swear where he knows he probably can't stop whatever is about to happen, but he really wishes he could.
I polymorph Bob into a mouse.
Interesting. I need to look something up.
By the way, if the chains had been attached to something that was not Bob, and therefore presumably it would not go with Bob, I was going to cast a banishment on him to banish him out of the chains.
Oh, yeah. If the chains had been attached to something, I could have dimension-doored him away.
He does not turn into a mouse.
Hmm.
Do I still lose my spell slot?
Yes.
Okay.
I had to roll a spell save.
Ah.
So you asked about the school of magic that the collar emanates. It emanates more than one. Enchantment is quite strong on it. There's a bit of divination magic and also transmutation magic. All three of these woven together. Now, enchantment is the strongest, but there's little bits of transmutation and divination in there as well.
Well, isn't that interesting? I'll communicate that to the rest of the party.
Gox just shakes his head at you. Like, I don't get it, but okay.
Divination makes me nervous because that's how bad guys spy on good guys from across planets.
Fine,
also
all right.
How they track me down when I try to escape, which they have done more than once.
Yeah.
How many of them are there? Like, if they
track you down.
Yeah.
It's never really more than 50 when they track me down.
What are they?
There was a dragon a few times. A bunch of half dragons every now and then. Sometimes they just send a bunch of cultists when they don't mind a bunch of them getting killed by me in the process. They
usually don't mind
me killing a bunch of them.
Yeah. Well, let's hope they send the cultists because it sounds like we can take them.
That would also be like lighting a big fire saying, hi, we're here.
You may have already done that by half freeing me.
Mm.
Well, if something already knows that you're half free, then we should go get your crew, I guess, and try to get out of here?
Not so much get them, more like put them to rest.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to put my earthquake idea back on the table.
That might work.
I mean, basically earthquake. A mass burial. Yes, I can cause an earthquake if it'll help.
That would work.
Okay.
So then the question is, do we take you back to Fiddle Punch?
No.
No? Do you know him?
Yeah, we've met.
Ah, okay.
But that's not the issue. The issue is, if there is, in fact, divination magic, and I have no reason to doubt you, if there is, in fact, divination magic on this collar
then
of
we
mine,
probably shouldn't take him back to Fiddle Punch.
Then I can't go anywhere you're going.
Okay.
That was basically my question, is because Fiddle Punch is our best chance at getting the collar off, but yeah, it might also leave a trail right back to what is going to be our base of operations for a while.
Well, if Fiddle Punch is involved, then whether or not he has an ability to track me down, he knows a bunch of people who are fairly good at divination. Aristobulus could probably do it pretty easily. Now that you know I'm on this continent, you know how to look for me.
That's true.
So, let's bury my crew, and then I'll head one direction, and you head the rest, and I won't know where you are, and you can find me later.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, we'll do that.
And if I'm lucky, they won't kill me when they find me.
Well.
Good luck.
If they already know you're here, if they already know we're here, we might as well give you some backup.
You find a way to get this collar off of me, I won't need backup. You don't get this collar off of me, and you hang out with me, you're probably going to be killed.
Yeah, we might be able to take it's a matter of attrition. We could maybe take a wave or two, but we're in enemy territory. They can keep throwing more at us.
I have the weirdest idea.
Coming from a kobold with a floral hat, I am very, very concerned.
Let's get out of here and cast Earthquake.
Okay.
All right, okay. So, yep, our Earthquake's got a pretty long range, so we could get some distance away, and it's a concentration-based spell, so I can keep it running for up to a whole minute or until we're fairly sure I've completely collapsed that mine.
Okay. And I'm going to say that you could probably center it so that it could probably affect the factory as well.
Then that's absolutely what I'm doing, because I want to burn as much of this place to the ground as I can.
Okay.
But I want to stay close to the mountainside, the cliff face.
Oh, you want to stay close to the part that's going to be falling into the big hole?
No, I want to... Because
that's the cliff face.
Okay. I want to travel along the mountainside away from the mining operation.
There is a mountain, but it's in the center of this continent. It's
Okay, okay.
You traveled over a small hill to see this area, but it wasn't a mountain by any stretch.
Okay, I'm keeping an eye out for, actually, trees would work.
Most of the tall trees in this area have been cut down. If you want the high ground, it would be the hill that you crested before you saw the mining operation to begin with.
Then let's go there.
Okay. You All now right. have the high ground. The fight is over.
But we can't do that. Things aren't on fire enough for that.
For the fight to be over? Yeah.
I didn't shut off the furnace. Let the earthquake do its work.
Okay, all right.
So this is a spell being cast by a cleric, so I am going to ask the cleric to give me a religion check.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I have a bad feeling about this. It may just be the Star Wars gift, but yeah.
Here, sidekick.
You still got to put an R after the question mark.
Oh,
there we go. So we got a 13.
Now it's your aimer that's being delaying.
All right. So with a 13, I'm going to say that the earthquake, as you concentrate for a full minute, does in fact cause the high parts to settle into the low parts. And there's still a depression because, let's face it, they hauled a lot of stuff out of there. But there's no longer a ridgeline going around the strip mine anymore. That's all flowed in and the sides have caved in a bit. So all of the undead that were in there are now suitably buried. The factory, there's a few parts that have shifted. One of the towers fell over, but you did not roll high enough to really take the whole factory down, unfortunately.
Oh, well.
Well, better than nothing.
I have spent the last minute casting.
Oh, no.
Wait, what? I didn't even hear it.
Oh, my gosh. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
What did you do? On the hillside,
the doorway to the dazzling dwelling appears. Bob, let's see what happens when we take you out of reality.
I don't know what to say, but I'm sure I'll think of an appropriate swear eventually. Okay. So you go into the dazzling dwelling.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And close the doors.
And blink, you're out of reality.
Yes, we are in an extra planar space for the next 24 hours.
Okay. Well, on that note, I think that's a pretty good stopping point. So thank you, everyone, for playing. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Tonight, I was joined by a bunch of incredible people, including Ellie, Io, Jen, and Cindy, and Archbeth hanging out in chat as usual. Plugs. So, Ellie runs a social network called elk.xyz. It's Mastodon compatible. You should make an account there. Pretty much everyone here has an account there. It's fun. Eo's mom writes books. You can get those at elizabeth-mccoy.com. Jen has a blog and podcast. You can get that stuff at bookofjen.net, available in fine podcatchers everywhere. And
not really. It's not. It's only on my website.
Well, you have an RSS
feed. Company. I do. I have an RSS feed, but you won't find this on like Apple Podcasts and whatnot, you know?
Oh, I don't care about that, but you can take that RSS feed and copy paste it into any good podcatcher.
Okay, that makes more sense. I was just
if you can't do that, it's not a fine podcatcher.
Right. No, I just wanted to be clear. It's not on like any of the other things.
Yeah. So you go to bookofjen.net and you find the RSS link and you use it.
Okay, I get it now. Sorry.
There we go.
I'm a little off today.
And to be honest, I didn't have to do that. I used Podcast Addict on my phone, and I think I did type in bookofjen.net, and it gave me your podcast.
All right.
So there's other searches that are possible. And we have a Patreon at patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. Help us keep the lights on. I will continue to spend more money than is donated because it's a hobby, and hobbies are bottomless pits that you fill with money. But help me spend more money to keep the lights on, if you can. We've got a bunch of awesome people who are already helping out. I had Patreon open. There we go. So we have great patrons, including Chris and Cindy and Ellie and Eric. So until next time, this is Crash saying, I'll think of an appropriate swear eventually.
But it will not be on stream.
No, it won't be.
No.